These gatherings, these majalis, the objective, the reason for these gatherings is not for us to get together for a speech or a lecture. Rather, the objective, we see many things that are important in our life, around us, within our lives. And in this dunya, we forget the most important of things, the dunya, the world, and the busyness of life overwhelm us, make us forget what's really genuinely important. So in these majalis, we revise the important topics, we remind ourselves, and after reminding ourselves, revising, we bring those important factors back into our life in the form of amal, action, and we benefit from the more important things and factors. And this is the objective of this gathering and these gatherings we hold, and speaking, listening, that Allah, Ya Allah Ta'ala, give us all the tawfiq, the ability to practice on what we discuss and hear. And this is how we should think, because these are the same old discussions we've had, nothing new. We're rotating and going through the cycle, but because we're weak and we're in the dunya, we forget the importance of actions and points and learnings. So then what we do is we sit together, discuss, and we revise. We revise all of the older topics and we benefit again, and then we implement that as an action in our lives and benefit. Now there's a very great ni'mah of Allah, a very great gift of Allah, a very great reward of Allah, a very great ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given to the human beings. And we should think and understand and know that this ni'mah is what the whole of the success of life hinges upon. Without this ni'mah, everything in life is a waste. Success hinges on this. Ibadah, whether it's worship, whether environment, whether life, society, relationships with people, business, transactions, individual personal issues. This factor, this element, this ni'mah of Allah is included in every single part of life. If we have this ni'mah, then alhamdulillah, everything will be illuminated and nice and clean and pure and beneficial. But if we don't have this ni'mah, our salah will be a waste. No nur in our ibadah, no nur in our recitation. Life becomes a waste. People who sit in big houses, who are rich, they are distressed. People who have big cars, they are distressed. Without this ni'mah, the poor man thinks the rich man's very happy. He's got a big building, big rooms, enjoyment, luxury. What does he know, the poor man, that what the hardship the rich man's going through? He's always in difficulty and problems. And the poor man, he's always poor anyway, maybe. And he doesn't have any resources, so he's in difficulty. But without this element, we cannot attain anything. It's not that we don't believe in this. I said before, we know about this and we believe in this as well. And we understand as well. But we are ignorant about this factor, this element, this ni'mah of Allah. We don't pay attention to this ni'mah. We don't pay attention, nor do we realize and nor are we aware that there's importance that we need to bring this element to our lives. Oh, we're just living the life. But how foolish can we be? How more foolish? What is this factor, this element? Think for a moment. But we'll tell everyone it. And we'll all say, oh, we know about this. I've said before that these are small, minor points. We know everything. But when I speak further, then we'll think ourselves that how much amal do I do on this point? And how much loss there is for not implementing or appreciating this. And we are millions of times over grateful that Allah Ta'ala has instilled this into my mind at this point in time. And that person will be happy, will be listening, who will travel on this path and his life is made. His life is made. And the person will be beneficial, will benefit. Sometimes I'm surprised that I speak and I say things and the effect of those words is so essential and desperate, those words for that individual, that I'm surprised myself that was this for this person that I said this? Was this discussion for this person? I don't even know. I say something and after that somebody phones or you get some communication. That person's life is made, improved, understood, the light has come. And sometimes they're sitting and they don't even know what I'm saying and they don't understand. They thought, oh, they're just speaking and the speech and they listen and they went and they go. So this is according to everybody's destiny. But whatever words we discuss in these majalis in the gathering, definitely there's a benefit for somebody. Somebody unfortunate and lucky are those who sit and understand or listen and understand. Now, what is that factor that I'm telling you? What ni'mah is this? Without which everything is a waste. That is barakah. Barakat, baraka, blessings. We all know this. We all know this, but we accept less. We implement less. We're aware. Everything in the world, in the dunya, and the benefit of everything in the world is when there is barakah from Allah in that item, ibadah, worship, home, outside, wife, children, business, buildings, cars, name. Except if you don't have, obviously, then even then there's barakah. Even if you don't have, and if you have and there's barakah, then more benefit. So this is such an element, such a factor, that without this factor, everything is a waste without any nur, without any benefit. Without any benefit. So have we ever thought about the importance of this? No, the car's driving. We're going through all of the different climates and terrains, but we don't understand what we're going through. When pray salah, do we ever think, is there barakah of Allah in this? No, 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 I've just come to pray salah. We think it's barakah automatic in this action. We think it's a machine. That barakah is a machine, that it just automatically will be a barakah. How many people have thought today that I'm going to pray salah, Allah, I'm going to pray salah, I'm going to do sajda. If your barakah is not in this, then my sujood are a waste. I will just bop up and down and go and there will be nothing in it. But if I say this to someone, say, are you mad that you're saying this? Are you saying there's no barakah? The whole Quran says this. The whole ahadith say this. Tell me. So now, that same point I remember now, is a very great point. That the pious predecessors tell us the events. Historic, we learned there was a man, he had 5 or 6 children, sons. He became old and he had a business. And he was about to pass away. He was old, he was frail. And the sons, they thought, who's going to serve father now? I've got wife, I've got my house. And we're talking about that generation. Nowadays, if the father starts to cough, they say, oh, take him to the old people homes, retirement homes, social care homes. And young children have been brought up, and we brought them up and give them nourishment. A person will have earned and eaten haram to bring up his children. May my children be happy. I'm giving examples today in the world. And when that poor man becomes old, frail, coughing, spluttering, oh, put him to the side, bypass him, we don't have time. Allahu Akbar, imagine. Imagine, this is the ta'aleem of Islam. The ghair, they do khidmat. Even if your neighbor is ill, help him, assist him. Whether it doesn't matter if a person is a Muslim, non-Muslim, look after that person, feed him, assist him. But today our own blood has become white, it's not even red anymore. The children say, oh, get the father out of the house. And the wife says, oh, get him out, I ain't got time for him. Is this not happening, my brothers, my friends? And we say that we are great walis of Allah, and we're friends of Allah, and we pray salah, and we worship, etc. So, the poor soul, he didn't get any assistance, and his son said, oh, be gone with him. But there was one son who was with understanding. You know, there's sometimes good kids, good children, he had an awareness and understanding. So his old age came, and everyone looks at the assets. Oh, I'll take this house, I'll take this shop, etc. So he said, okay, father's about to pass away. He said, the sons, let's split his assets and resources. He's not going to live anyway much longer. At least we can take what's our share from our father, and we move on. So what happened now is that the son, each son is looking at the other son. Everyone's worried about money and resources. Nobody has the shame that let's go and visit father and ask him his hal. And if there's something we're going to benefit from, then we'll visit father. These are big examples for the akhirah, my friends. Big examples. So they started to split the assets and the resources. This is mine, that's my money. And father's listening and watching. And one of the sons was with understanding. He said that you are sharing other assets. He said, what kind of transaction? They said, will you accept what I take in my share? They said, yes, how much do you want? What's your share? You're the youngest. What will you take? He said, they said, tell us. He said that my share, out of everything, I give you my share. And you give me father. Just give me father. They said, oh, he's foolish. And he's given us money and all the resources. And he's going to have more troubles. And he said, please, with happiness, you take everything, I'll sign this. They said, yes, sign, and we'll give you. Dad, you can look after dad. So he took father. He took father as his share. And then he started to say, serve his father. And then eventually the death came to the father. And when the death came, his son was told by father, my son, you have served me, I couldn't give anything to you. Even your son, you relinquished it, you gave your land and money to your brothers. But I'll give you one nasiha from my experience. That in life, remember one thing. That never forget the barakah of Allah. That's it. Never forget the barakah of Allah. And then he passed away, and this thought was instilled in the mind of the son. And there was poverty and hunger. He had wife and children. His wife were arguing and fighting with him and his children. And we went to sleep, and he saw his father in a dream. in a dream. And his father said, "My son, you are upset. Your situation is severe and difficult. Go to this place and there's a tree. And go and dig under that tree and there's a treasure under that tree. And take that treasure. Take that treasure." So then he remembered his father. And he said, "Okay, father, I will go. And is there barakah in that treasure?" And the father said, "There's no barakah there." He said, "Then I will not take that then. You said yourself, don't take anything unless there's barakah." In the morning, he told his wife what happened. "I saw this dream." She said, "Are you foolish? Forget about barakah and blessings. We don't even have food. We don't have bread." And she was weak. Remember, the women sometimes weak. He said, "No, if there's no barakah, I will never take." Then the next day, he saw a dream. And that, "Go, son, this place, there's money there, wealth there. Go and attain from there." So he said, "Father, is there barakah there?" He said, "There's no barakah there." He said, "No, I won't take that either. I won't take that either. Nope. Because you said no barakah." Third day, he saw another dream. And in the dream, his father said, "Go to this place, this location, reals or rupees or pounds, whatever currency. You just take £1, for example." He said, "There's money there and take that." He said, "Father, is there barakah there?" He said, "There's a lot of barakah." He said, "That's it. Success. Success." And this is when a person has yaqeen and Allah Ta'ala's barakah is great. And this is a story not of today, an old event, a true story written in the historical records. He went, he took that rupee or whatever currency was. Then Allah Ta'ala assists and helps when somebody follows guidance, then in his heart instills those words of rahmah. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ Allah Ta'ala says, مَخْرَجَهُ The person who fears me, who has fear and khawf and leaves the sins, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ Such doors I open for that person, he's amazed himself. He's amazed himself. And a person initially doesn't have yaqeen, but he will believe after that. Such doors, Allah Ta'ala says, I will open. He says, "Oh, this, where did this money come from? This business, how did I attain this business?" Unknowingly, unconsciously, without planning, a person attains something. So when he attained that pound, then he had a desire in his heart that I want to eat some fish. Because when there's a person, he has a little bit of a passion, a desire, if I get some money, I'll eat this like a child in Ramadan. He says, if you give a child the promise, go and keep the fast. Then in his mind, he thinks, when I break the fast, I want to eat this food or burger or this. And as soon as the fast breaks, mother and father say, what do you want to eat? He says, give me a burger. That's it, please, I want a burger. So same with the human being, he has a desire, a halal desire, lawful. So when that rupee came, he said, that's it, I feel like having some fish, I want to eat some fish, I want to cook some fish. Allah Ta'ala created that desire within him. So he took his rupee, or his money, went to the marketplace, and there are some fish there, like that, this fish and this fish and this species. He called out that, please, a pound, one fish, pound, two fish, nice and fresh. He said, how much is this nice, long, big fish? He said, oh, this is 1 rupee, £1. And nice and fresh. He said, here, take this money, full I've got, take it, and I want this fish. And he went home, he said, oh, today we'll eat fish. He said, okay, fine, we'll have some fish, at least something. After some days, we've got something to eat from 1 rupee, okay. And she cut that fish, and from within that fish, a diamond came out from the stomach of the fish. Very precious and expensive. This was the generation of the king. He said, this looks like a diamond, a precious stone. He said, let me go and see. Let's go and value this at a jeweler's, and I'll sell it and bring the money. So she said, quickly go. So he went, and he went to the jeweler, and when he showed that diamond, the stone, he said, where did you get this from? And he was a bit afraid. He said, why? He said, you madman, this might be an announcement from the king. Whoever brings the stone, the diamond, I'll give him treasures upon treasures. Go quickly. Where did you get this from, this diamond, this stone? Because he knew that jeweler, he was aware. He said, take it in your fist. He ran to the court of the king. And he said, I want to see the king, the king. He said, king, you announced about the stone, the diamond. If I bring that, he said, if you bring that here, take as much treasure as you want. He said, here's the stone, here's the diamond. وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ Allah says, I announce to you the rewards if you have yaqeen. He said, all of this, camels and animals and donkeys and everything you can see, take it, this is all yours, I don't need this. And within a second, he became a king himself. SubhanAllah, and his qismat, destiny changed. This is barakah. Where was the, what was the barakah? In the 1 rupee. So this is our life, my friends. This is our life. Remember this. Remember this, don't take what I'm saying badly, that our life full of years without barakah. And the person who's barakah, his situation is something totally different. Their salah, their enjoyment is different, their ibadah, their worship, in which there is barakah, blessings. Alhamdulillah. Little bit of ibadah they do, but there's a lot of noor and light in the ibadah. Lot of light and noor. We've never asked for barakah in our du'as, have we? Never. Look how great an element is barakah. Barakah. So brothers, barakah, blessings, In our lives, we don't have this, and this has come out of our lives today, through which we would attain assistance of God. And this is the principle of our life we see here, that when somebody has a requirement for something, then Allah Ta'ala, in that number, quantity, capacity, and depth, Allah Ta'ala has placed in our lives. The amount of wind we need, Allah Ta'ala has given us that wind and that air. And there's so much more around us, but the amount we need, Allah gives to us. Water, Allah Ta'ala created oceans, seas, from the skies, water drops. How much do we need? Allah Ta'ala says, you need this much, and Allah Ta'ala gives the amount we need, and a bit more probably. So barakah, blessings that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. There's nothing in our life which does not need barakah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't think that Allah Ta'ala has not given us the methods of attaining barakah or the quantity of barakah. Allah says there's so much barakah, immense barakah, unlimited barakah, and many means through which we can attain barakah that there we would lose count if we were to look at those means. Look at this. So foolish and stupid we are. There are so many ways, so many means, so many methods, and so valuable is barakah. So valuable that it's not difficult to attain barakah with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. Every single action of our life will have barakah. If I drink water, there'll be barakah, alhamdulillah. There'll be no action that if I touch it, no thing that if I touch it, that barakah will not descend. There's so many means Allah Ta'ala has kept for us to attain barakah in our lives. So should we not follow those means and methods? Because there's a way to attain good things. There are methods to attain good things. So shall I tell you how barakah will come into our life? The asool, the principle of barakah, how Allah Ta'ala has kept barakah, so we can attain it. After today, we can open our eyes. We won't pray any salah in which there's no barakah. We won't recite Quran if there's no barakah in it. We won't do any actions in which there's no barakah. We won't do any business in which there's no barakah. We won't do any job in which there's no barakah. Blessings. We won't get married if there's no barakah in it. Allah Ta'ala knows the hikmah, the wisdom. There'll be no child that will be born in our life from us that will have no barakah. Even in getting the children, if a child is born from the family, there's barakah. But there are two asool that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in this dunya. Remember, one, that if your life has no barakah, then this is not good. And secondly, that if you do actions in your life which have barakah instilled in them, with them in parallel. For example, I want to do something, I want to carry out an action, then there will be two effects. Either I will just carry on doing the action according to my desire, job, employment, transaction, going out, eating, buying, selling, etc. And the second action is that action that if I want to attain barakah, blessings, if I want to attain Allah's barakah, then that usool, that principle, I'll have to do it according to that principle, then the barakah will come in. So this is my choice now. It's up to us. And what is that element through which barakah comes? Is in our action. So there are two principles, isn't it? So all of the dunya is doing an action, actions which have no barakah. And there's another way, another action, which if we do it in a certain way, then the barakah, the blessings will come into our actions. And what is that? That will bring barakah into all of the actions of our life, the elements of our life, the seconds of our life. What is that? That is sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. The sunnah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Allah Ta'ala said, I've sent my Nabi to you for this reason, that if there's any mu'min who believes in me, then every action of his will have barakah, blessings. Every action of his will become special and expensive. And barakah is such an element that it never ends. Barakah never ends. If there's barakah in any action element of your life, they will become so valuable and expensive that it will take you to Jannah. Paradise, you will get the reward in the barakah. It will continue. That barakah will not end until paradise if there's barakah in a certain element of your life. Look at this point. That will stay existent, regular. Because Allah Ta'ala says, my barakah is included in that. So do you understand what I'm saying now? That any action, either do it your own way, the way you want, or do it in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's method, his ta'aleem. And if we follow the ta'aleem, the method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then barakah will come into our lives. Blessings will come into our lives. If you pray salah according to your own desire, like we are, but if we pray salah according to the education and teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then barakah will come into our salah. In that Quran will come barakah. This is ibadah in the same way every job and action of our life. Business, tijara, friendship, wife, relationships, even the way that we go to our wives, we do nikah and she's jais and permissible. There are two ways. There are two ways of meeting the wife. Either one is to do it the way you want, and the second way is the way according to the ta'aleem, the education, the way of the Prophet. If you go the way you want, then that child will be a waste, there'll be no barakah. But secondly, if we follow the ta'aleem, the education of the Prophet, then that child that will be born will have barakah and blessings. Blessings. So Allah Ta'ala has given us the choice. He's given us the choice that how we want to do it. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want barakah, then just do one thing. that follow my way method, that see what is the method that the Prophet Muhammad told you to implement to do the action. If you implement the action according to the sunnah, for example, you sat in the car, the whole dunya sat in car, in their vehicles and driving, and you sit and think, no, no, I'll do it my way. No, you think I'm going to drive now. So what is the ta'lim, the education, the teaching of the Prophet, the way to embark on and use the transportation? Then if you do it that way, then that transportation will totally change. Even your driving will become ibadah, worship. It's being written by the angels. And you are earning and constructing palaces and thereafter, because it's recorded that this driving that you did today for 1 hour, 2 hours, if you're driving a taxi, or 8 hours, then all of that will become for you a great treasure and reward and ni'mah in the akhirah, because you have implemented the action of traveling using transportation in the way of the sunnah. If you rush, do this and that, do it this way, my desires, I think this way, then you are wasting your time. You're a mu'min, you have iman, you have a link with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came for you. You should create a link with him. Such a prophet never came in the existence of man, in the history of mankind. We should be so alert. There was no such Nabi like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came to the world. He had affection and love for the Muslims, for the people of the world. He had regard. He wanted to give people the opportunity to attain great rewards in the hereafter from Allah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah is saying with pride in the Quran that this Nabi I've sent to you in the world, Allah is proud that he came to you as an example to give you the great rewards. Allah says, I'm merciful to you that I sent you this Nabi. How sad, we have the greatest example. If we imitate him and follow his teachings, then every second of our life will be full of nur and light, divine light and barakah and blessings. And if barakah will come, then can we stay poor or rich? The person who has barakah in his mud shack, then he is more rich than thousands of millionaires. And if you have millionaires' palaces, you will cry if they're hollow. You will have broken hearts and empty hollow homes and no assistance, no relationships, no friendships. You see this. People have big, massive structures, but totally hollow. So don't be afraid of poverty, hunger, being poor. Because when a person goes through all of these challenges, follow the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That what did our master sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in this instance? What should we do in this instance? And that's it. That's all we need to understand. But we've forgotten. We aren't aware. After today, make a solid promise and make this a principle in your life. That whatever I do in my life, first and foremost, I will take guidance and understand that what is the ta'lim, the teaching of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard. Look, I'll tell you hadith of Sahih Muslim. I'll tell you two hadith. And this is not a minor insignificant thing that, for example, what's the need for this? What's the necessity of this? Hazrat Jabir radiallahu narrates this hadith that he was eating, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated about eating. Look here, that there is teaching and education about eating. So he said that after eating, don't be in a rush. After eating, what should you do? Wherever your plate is in front of you, clean that plate. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Clean that plate. Totally. Wipe it with your fingers and lick your fingers. And this is the ta'aleem, the education of Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Put your hands up today if you have wiped your plate clean and licked your fingers. MashaAllah, there's at least one person here. MashaAllah. Look at that. Look at that. So after eating, we've done this and we get the reward. So Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, the reward is there. Barakah, such a big point. And today, there's an announcement. Would there be any Muslim man or woman, we cook the food quickly, we put spices in, we want extra spices, more salt or ghee or butter, making the meat and the taste. Everyone, my friend, the mother of all things is barakah in the food. We sit down to eat, we don't have manners. We don't know the technique. The Prophet ﷺ told us that the plate that you've eaten the food from, make sure you wipe that plate clean. Lick it clean. And then your three fingers that you eat with, lick your fingers. Subhanallah. Lick your fingers when you're about to finish eating. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, what a beautiful point. Subhanallah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I'm your Nabi, I know about these points. Innakum la tadrauna. The hadith I remember now. I'll recite it correctly. Innakum la tadruna. And further, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Fi ayyi ta'amakum baraka. Isn't this correct, Mawlana Sahib? This hadith, this is the hadith. That you don't realize your Nabi knows, he knows everything that he's telling you. This is the ta'aleem, the education he came to give him. We're all aware of this. He came to tell us that you don't have the ilm. That what is good for you, the best for you, In this food, it wasn't in this food. Rather, what is it? La tadruna, you don't realize this. You won't understand. You don't know that in which portion of the food that you've eaten, which portion in reality there's barakah, blessings, that has made you wealthy. The food. Your Nabi knows. What is the tariqah? That look for those, don't look for the little pieces. Rather, everything in the food is barakah, blessings. I don't know which morsel, which portion. So lick the plate clean totally. Don't leave it to waste. Even your fingers, lick them clean. Because maybe that piece of curry, that amount of curry that's left on your fingers, and those people who do amal on these points, then barakat come into their lives. Openly, the barakah will come into their lives. So is there any amal on this? Khatam, Bukhari, and long statements. If we do amal on this on our life, then we'll be successful. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is ta'aleem, this is the ilm, my friends. This is ilm, this is knowledge. Knowledge. We don't realize this, and we don't even feel that this is ilm and appreciate this. Oh, it's okay, I can do what I want and just give long titles and speeches and are. Oh, is this and that. Inside is hollow, nothing. On this one point, one teaching of the Prophet ﷺ, I swear by Allah and say this today, our whole society, from the king down to the ministers, to the wazirs, to the servants, to the workers, to the homes, to the wives and children, if we do amal on one thing, this action, that we want barakah, I tell you, then we'll become the best qawm, the nation in the world. All issues will be solved within seconds. Am I right or am I wrong? Or am I crazy or am I mad? But this is what I've understood from the Quran and the Hadith. So difficult we make it. Our deen is not difficult, it's not hard. Allah Ta'ala says, if you read the whole Quran, then after that we'll read tafsir, then commentary, then Sahih al-Bukhari, then the speeches of the alims, then we'll realize that today, oh, and then I'll do amal on something. If this is the Islam, then we are lost and we will never be on the right path. Islam is so simple, it's so easy. Go to a majlis, a wali Allah, a mahfil, majlis, go to the wali of Allah, his gathering, and the person will leave there as a total Muslim. Total. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us, but we are thieves. We're thieves and munafiqs, and we don't want to go anywhere. We don't want to realize. And that's why I said to you before, that's first why I'm awakening you, making you realize. I'm realizing myself, reawakening myself. That whatever I say, prepare yourself that you have to do amal on what you're speaking about. This is not a speech, a bayan, a lecture. I say to myself, this is not a majlis that I just go and speak and gather numbers and nod, oh, look at the speaker. No, do amal and your life will be made. That's the enjoyment. That say today and after today, the change should come into our lives. Should it come or not? Tell me. Yes, totally it should come. Shall I ask you what I've said? Should we revise and remind ourselves? We've said that in our lives, there's a great ni'mah that we have forgotten. We all are aware of this ni'mah. We don't do amal on this. And what is that? Barakah. Attaining barakah, blessings. And with barakah, barakah can come into every second of our life, every action. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, and the second hadith, I remember now, I'll like to tell you, that's a hadith in Sahih Muslim as well. That's also on this subject. And the Prophet ﷺ said, then what did he say first? That lick your fingers, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and lick the plate clean, wipe the plate clean, wipe the plate clean with your fingers, and then lick your fingers as well. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that lick your fingers after you've eaten. No, the first hadith that I told you was correct. Yes, so the first part of the hadith now, the second hadith, the first part is that whenever anybody eats, whenever you eat on the dastarkhan, the food mat, may Allah give us a tawfiq to eat on the food mat on the floor, and what should we eat? The food mat on the floor. How should we eat? Like this? No. No, the method of eating. There are three ways of sitting. Yes? Not cross-legged. So either with the one leg up, with the left foot underneath the posterior. And secondly, with the two knees on the ground. And thirdly, like this on the both heels. And the other ways you can eat, even fourth, fifth way, you can eat the way, whichever you want, but there'll be no barakah. And there will be hundreds of diseases and illnesses. Diabetes may come. Maybe the kidneys will fail. Maybe other parts and organs of the bodies will fail. So what is the benefit if we eat away from the sunnah? We'll be like animals. Doesn't matter how much you eat, that you can eat 5 goats, 5 sheep. You think you have eaten so much? No. SubhanAllah, even if you eat half a piece of bread in this way, then your life is made. You'll have health, vitality. Why? Because there's barakah in this. So do we have yaqeen on this point, what I'm saying or not? That if you're a mu'min, we should have yaqeen on this, isn't it? That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala has prepared for us the whole of the universe. Laqad kana. That this man who's coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is full of barakah, blessings. Ah, he's rahmatul alameen, he's mercy, mercy. He's come to deliver mercy to the universe and fill your treasure chest and take advantage and benefit from him. Subhanallah. So this is the meaning and the objective of dhikr, adhkar, not to shout out, I tell you this speech and technicalities, Hazrat Sahib does dhikr great way. No, change the lives, improve the lives. Death is hovering on our heads, and do transactions so we earn from Allah. My mothers, sisters, friends, brothers, become valuable. Make yourself valuable. That's why this majlis is it. There's no other reason why. My Hazrat said these points to me. The two things you have to do. Beware, don't fall into any argument, debate, go into a party, masail and tell people, criticize people, they're bad. My Hazrat sent me, when he sent me, gave me the duty, he gave me 4 or 5 nasiha, he prepared me. Don't argue, don't quarrel, don't create fitna, don't create splits within people, don't debate with anybody, and don't enter into any party, political party, etc. I'm sending you for two things. One is dhikr of Allah, and secondly, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it, two functions you have, and that's what I do. That's two duties that I implement. Doesn't matter how much punishment I'll get, hang, whatever. But Hazrat said, don't leave these two duties and Allah will be with you. Stand firm on haq until today I'm there and everything's occurred. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So what pain is there? No loss. Am I doing something wrong? Am I saying something wrong? Rather, I am improving people's akhlaq, their conduct, behavior, manners, and I'm improving myself. We all know everything. That don't you know what is barakah? Listen, but today you've enjoyed by listening to this. Haven't you? Yes, so this is barakah. That if we are like empty, hollow people, yeah, then reawaken yourselves, Allah says. Awaken yourselves, revive yourselves, revitalize yourselves. Those who are sitting here, they are the beloved of Allah. Allah says, I like you, I love you, I give you the ability to come in. We have courage and determination. We listen to this fakir. What is he saying? But I request one thing. Don't come to just listen. Rather, come for which reason? To do amal after today. Please bring this into your life, this practice. It must come to life. And whoever does it, whichever way we do it, yes. And the other hadith I was telling you was Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the first thing was what? In the hadith, the other color of the hadith, the other way, the other form, is that when you're eating and you have the food, mat, the dastarkhwan, then little pieces of food, crumbs, morsels, piece of food, I don't know the word in Gujarati, morsels or crumbs, roti or the bread or rice or a piece of rice, grain falls down, what do? We leave that, we just fill up the plate and we eat half the plate and throw half the plate away. How big a dhulm, injustice. We eat half of what's on the plate and throw the rest of the plate, the food on the plate away. And in weddings and functions, we eat like animals. If we make a clip that this is the way the Muslims are eating, then I feel like giving a title that these are Muslims eating today, the Muslims of today. Look how they're eating, person's eating this way, somebody's not washing hands, talking, the food's going in the nostril, etc. Everyone's scared. Quickly, quickly eat, because I won't get a turn after that. The food will be finished. And eat and spread your hands out like this and that, left and right. I don't even go to the invitations. It's difficult because people aren't doing things correctly. So I also have issues with my stomach. I don't go to invitations and feasts, etc. But this is what happens today. And you don't see anyone sitting with manners and respect and does dua and eats what's in front of him in the plate and wash your hands in the sunnah way and eat in the right way, in the right method. We have to fill our stomachs, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says, I'll fill your stomach with 2 morsels of the food. But the niyyah, our niyyah doesn't fill, does it? When our niyyah says, oh, let me eat the leg of this meat and this chicken and this, etc. I want this as well and I want shami kebabs. I don't want that to be left out. Oh, if I don't eat quickly, I won't get all of the food on the menu. We have to improve ourselves. We shouldn't just link ourselves to people who don't eat properly. The next dawah invitation, sit down quietly and eat nicely. Don't be worried that the food will finish. Sit with the tariqah and say, I have to sit down on the food and eat. There's nothing wrong with that. Those actions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to us to elevate us, to make us great. Today we think we are embarrassed with those actions. People say, oh, you'll be demonized, you'll be down and looked down upon, and sorry that we're not going to come to your invitation. If you seat us on the ground, on the food mat, on the floor to eat, what is this backwardness, they say? But here we have to look for barakah. That look, I'm getting my daughter married, I want barakah in this wedding, I'm getting my daughter wed. And a person who wants to sacrifice the barakah for dunya and he wastes time, he's spending money and doesn't want barakah because we want to please people. Some people say, look, doesn't matter who's happy or not, if you want to come, come, if you don't want to come, don't come, but I don't want to waste my barakah. So have you got courage now or not? The next time your function and wedding will be like this, say inshallah. Don't be scared of dunya. We want barakah, my friends. Barakah. Blessings. So when your daughter's getting married and you're making the world happy, say, look, she's getting married and this is a success for her life. If she doesn't take barakah from her life today, then there'll be a problem in the life. And maybe she'll get divorced and maybe there'll be problems. And all of this emanates from that. Whoever's unhappy, happy, doesn't matter. But I'm going to follow the tariqah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's how the wedding's going to take place in a family. We'll spend less, Allah's happy, Rasulullah's happy, and barakah will come into the lives. And who will be unhappy? The people of the dunya. Who you can never please in your life. Never. Such people will never be happy, who make demands on you. Will we do this or not? Will we do this or not? Tell me. We should follow the tariqah of the Rasulullah. Every action, Allah's Nabi said, whatever action you do should be in accordance to the barakah, the sunnah. So tell me now, to attain this barakah, are there only a few ways, a few methods? Many methods. Every time you should do that, I went to sleep. There are two ways. Either sleep the way you want, and there's nothing, shaitan will come and loss, or follow the sunnah way. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, What should we do? Remember this, that when something falls on the ground, never leave it. Food, morsels, crumbs. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I know better and you don't. That I know what you don't know. You don't realize this. What is this? That when the crumbs fall, then there are two things within that. The shaitan can eat these crumbs or the morsels of food, and that will go into the stomach of shaitan. And there'll be a big loss, lack of barakah. So straight away, what should you do? What is your job? A mu'min, your Nabi is giving you ta'aleem, education. What deen? Great religion. This is Bukhari. This is Muslim. This is the alim who's being made, the scholar. This is the dars of Rasulullah. This is ilm. What else is ilm? Tell me. What else is knowledge? All of the places where there's daras and the bayan, this is what is taught. But unfortunately, after hearing this, we don't do amal on this. We don't practice on this. Somebody eats this way, somebody eats that way, somebody leaves the food out, eats more, eats less. How we will be questioned in the hereafter. This is ilm, knowledge. So Rasulullah said, I know what you don't know. And this is hadith in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawud, Nisa'i. Great kitabs have been made. And then gatherings they recited. Then darsgah, madrasas and Shaykhul Hadith have been made. And this is it. They've learned these collections of hadith. What else have they become Shaykhul Hadith from? Tell me. From learning these hadith. So they're giving information, communication. So Rasulullah said, what do we have to do? That if the food drops, crumbs drop, then before shaitan benefits, pick up that food and blow on it. And the mu'min's blowing, there's such barakah that shaitan runs away, scarpers, and he doesn't stay awake because he has a lot of power. But when the mu'min blows on the food, whatever, there were germs, bacteria, oh, this fell on the floor, there are germs on it, it's dirty, you'll get infection, and these things that come in your mind, science says this, and this is that. Allah's Nabi said, you blow on the food, germs disappear. Subhanallah. There will be germs, maybe. Science is right, it's correct. It is science, it is knowledge. And from under the microscope, you might see the germs, but as soon as you blow, the food fell on the floor, bacteria, fungi, germs, and if I eat it, it will go into me. Amanna wa sadaqna. But my Nabi said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, blow on this. I blow on it. When you blow, what will happen? The germs, fungi, bacteria disappear, and that will become nur. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. What will that become? Nur. If you don't blow on it, then the dirt and the illness will come into you. But if you blow on it, because it's the teaching of the Mustafa, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then nur will come into your food, barakah, and the germs from inside, when you eat that food, then the germs inside will disappear. Your previous sicknesses and illnesses will disappear. And this is the dars of Bukhari. Is this dars or not? Tell me. So pick this up. Allah's Nabi said, this is ta'aleem. Blow on the food and eat it with enjoyment, whatever was on the floor. And don't let anyone touch that food, because that's full of barakah. Barakah. Innakum la tadruna. You don't realize what I realize, what I know. I'm your Nabi. I'm your Prophet. And then that point has been mentioned again, that beware, that don't wash your hands afterwards. Don't wash your hands until and unless you've licked your fingers at the end of eating. Have you licked your fingers after eating today? You know, you haven't licked your fingers. You haven't. So we know how to count with the fingers. Yeah, we say count, isn't it? Yeah. But we know how to use the fingers. But oh no, I don't like it, licking the fingers. When we look at someone else licking fingers, say, oh, this is bad manners, disrespect. But Allah's Nabi said, this is my teaching, this is my way. So we don't want to argue with anybody. Say what you want. But when I realize and learn something, for example, somebody's sitting with you and he's looking at you in a bad way and sniggering at you and sneering at you, doesn't matter, that person doesn't know. But I've studied Bukhari Sharif. Alhamdulillah. Allah's Nabi said that the knowledge has reached to you. So maybe that person is ignorant. Say to him, if he says, what are you doing? Why are you licking your fingers? People laugh at you. And this happened to the Sahaba Ikram, that people laugh at you, they say this to you, and they'll say you're jahil and stupid, and that person next to you may think you're stupid, but the qawm of the Saban thereafter took the dars, the education, they were educated people, and they may laugh. We'll laugh at that person. No, my brother, you're wrong, you don't understand, I enjoy this, look, I'm licking my fingers. So will we do this? Inshallah, in any da'wah, in any invitation, any feast, any place where you go to eat food, rather in such a gathering where you arrive where people are ignorant, they say, what are you doing? Say, this is the education of my Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He taught us that the germs will disappear, illnesses will go. He says, is this the case? And they'll be convinced from what you're saying. Oh, I'll do that as well. Then he'll say, licking the fingers as well. We'll do it as well. Allahu Akbar, and they'll start. Then this is my experience when we used to study in university. Alhamdulillah, we used to practice on the sunnah, amal, and quite a few friends, non-Muslim friends. They said, is this the truth? This is why you're doing this. I said, yeah. I said, you do this and you'll experience it. Illnesses will go, infections will go, diseases will go. Is it? Well, okay, I'll believe in that. Oh, and then they put their spoons away, the folks, when they start to eat with their hands and licking their fingers. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is such a tariqah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, a method that what a big factor that we have lost out in our lives from. And we don't know today that there's no barakah in our lives from morning till evening. Our life from morning till evening is without barakah. Ibadah, worship, masjid, because there was no tariqah of the Prophet Muhammad SAW in our lives. There wasn't no sunnah of his in our life. Why do we do miswak? It's sunnah. There's a tariqah method. There's barakah in it. Why do I put surma, the eyeliner on? Because there's barakah. Why do I put zaytun oil on my beard? Why do I put oil on my beard? Barakah. But if a person doesn't have a beard, where's he going to put the oil on? His forehead? So we need to follow these examples in our lives. Ajeeb, beautiful, unique life until the akhirah. May Allah give us all barakah blessings. This came into my heart today, is that we are running our lives on empty tank. We're running after wealth and mal and money just to make ourselves elevated. But there's one thing. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Allah Ta'ala sent us his Nabi. We should become obedient to him, servants of his, followers of his on every action. Akhlaq, manners, ibadat, eating, drinking, home, children, the way we speak, and everything. Allah's Nabi says, what has he told us to do? What did he tell us here? What was his amal here? What dua did he ask here? How did he sleep? How did he wake up? How did he do this? And inshallah, if we think about this, then I'll remember a point next time. A beautiful point is coming, that what is the solution for the disease of the eyes? A beautiful sunnah, beautiful point is coming to my mind. Inshallah, if it stays in my mind, that what a great solution. Those people who have the illnesses in the eyes, the people who look at other women, there are a lot of diseases of the eyes today, spiritual diseases, old men, young men, married men, unmarried men, bachelors, they have this disease, they can't control their gaze, they look at other women. But I'll give you such a solution that your eyes you will control, and this will be the tariqah of the sunnah. That when you wake up, then I will prove to you that inshallah this disease, illness will go. Recite Durood Sharif.